You are listening to The Beckett Cook Show with your host, Beckett Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/The Beckett Cook Show. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the Beckett Cook Show. I'm Beckett Cook, and I have a very special guest today, China Phillips Baldwin, and we're doing a Catching Up with China episode. So today we're going to catch up with you.
I'm so excited to catch up with
you. Yeah. So tell us what's been going on, because I know there's been a lot of activity in your life in the last month.
Yeah, well, I'm very, very excited to tell you that, as you know, we bought a house. So I'm
amazing.
Very, very excited about that.
Praise God.
Due to lots of different circumstances, Billy and I were forced to rent for the past 14 years. And
for the past, so
14
China
years.
Has been renting in Montecito or Santa Barbara for the last 14 years. And how many times have you moved?
At least 10.
So wait, tell us, because that's really bizarre to me.
Well, because people won't give you more than a 2 or 3 year lease.
Like
they want their house back.
And so was every time you moved, was it a traumatic kind of experience?
No, I love to move, actually.
You do?
I love moving.
Because as a kid.
As a kid, I moved a lot. So you would think it would be the opposite, that I would want to set down roots. But actually, I enjoy new beginnings.
I do
enjoy new beginnings. But do I wish we could have bought a house 14 years ago and not had to have moved all those times? Yeah.
And what was the logic of not buying a house 14 years ago?
Not having the money.
That's good logic.
Yeah.
Because you guys left New York.
We left New York. Billy was on a really hot show, Dirty Sexy Money, and it was like, you know, we were really doing great. And then the writer's strike hit and the show got canceled. And, you know, we went from making tons and tons of money to like going into the black, and it really stripped us, and we had to start from scratch. We literally had to rebuild and our lives and start from the ground up.
Yeah.
And the Bedford house that we had in Bedford, we had to sell for like a quarter of what we bought it for.
Bedford, New York, right?
Yeah. And so it was just a really bad situation.
And how did you find this house?
This one we're in now?
No, the one that you're moving into.
Oh, interestingly enough, it was a trust house. So it was all the money that they make off this house is going to charity, which is awesome.
That's amazing.
Very happy about that.
Wait, so the owners, why did
so
they...
So somebody passed away and they left it to their, I think, nephew, because they didn't have kids. And so then their nephew became the trustee. And in the will, it said, you know, this house goes to charity.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Do you know what charity, or can you not
say? I have no idea.
Wow. That's pretty amazing to leave all that to charity.
I know.
I mean, that's amazing.
It's great.
And so how did you decide on this house? Like, what grabbed you about it?
Well, it was in our price range. And
that's one thing to consider.
Yeah, it was in our price range, and it's just on a beautiful half acre of land, which is hard to find in this area because it's just so pricey. Everything is so expensive here.
California.
I know.
It used to be California Dreamin', now it's California Nightmare.
Screaming.
Screaming. It's so expensive here.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
So we, a lot of people made offers on the house. So we were just really lucky to be the top bidders. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And you taught me what hallelujah means today. Praise God.
Yeah.
Right?
Because hallelujah is praise, and Yah is Yahweh, as in God. So
amazing.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's so cool. I never knew that. We closed, escrow closed, and we get the keys on March 9th, and I'm really, really excited. I'm just going to...
And how are you...
Set some roots. I'm ready to set some real roots.
Yeah, this is like, you're probably going to maybe retire.
Don't say it.
Retire in this house.
Okay, fine.
I didn't say the other word.
I know, because you always say, you might die in this house. Like, this could be the house you actually die in.
I can't wait to die. I don't know what she's talking about. I can't wait. I want to be with Jesus. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so it's just super exciting, and the kids are really excited. I mean, you know, it's...
Do you have to furnish the whole house? Like, what is the deal? Do you have furniture here that you're taking there? Like,
are you setting me up?
No, I'm just... Okay. I'm just asking you.
Okay, yes, we do need to furnish the whole house. And I have ideas.
Yeah.
I have plans brewing. Good. Because we put so much down on the house that I'm not exactly sure how we're going to furnish the house. So, but we're going to do it.
He might be sleeping on like an air mattress yes. for the first couple of years.
Yes. But I think I found a way around
but you
that.
Found, yeah.
It's kind of a secret, but
she knows how to do stuff. This yeah. woman knows how to get things
I've
done.
I've got moxie, apparently.
She's got moxie, and like yeah. if you look in the dictionary under get things done, it's her picture. it's there.
Yeah.
You really do. Like, what?
Thank
have you.
You
always been? Because you must have, obviously, to start a band, Wilson Phillips, and mm-hmm. write songs and become a number one song, you know, number one hit single. You have to be proactive,
yeah.
obviously. So yeah. were you the proactive one in the group? I mean,
okay, that's a little bit of an awkward question.
I don't want to ask, get you in trouble. But you like make things happen. Like you just like, we're going to do this. We're going to form a band.
I think Carney and Wendy would say that if anyone was going to stay the latest in the studio, it was going to be me. I would want to work all night long. I would want to write songs all night long.
I can attest to this because I wake up at like 7 in the morning and China's already texting me. Like all these questions about things, and then until like I don't know midnight, and I'm like, do you ever stop? And she's very like proactive and very like, let's get this done, let's do this. So I actually love that about you because you don't wait around for things to happen.
No,
you,
I mean, what's
and
the
obviously,
point?
Obviously, God is like you know directing you.
No, 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 God's not directing me at all. I'm just total self will run riot, and then I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. I've been like on my own, like just, you know, self-will. And I repent. Like when I get my mind fixed on something, it's like,
it's like dog to a bone.
Need it now. And that's bad.
But so were you always like that as a kid?
Yeah, I think I kind of was. I know my comfort zone. And if I'm out of my comfort zone, I will do anything to get back into my comfort zone. Does that make sense? So like with the house, like with the furniture, you know, I've emailed you a couple of things, but I call it
a couple or 10,000
or 10,000 things. Like I've got a lot of ideas for my house, a lot of ideas, and
but they have to be pasteurized.
They have to be. You took my words. They have to be pasteurized.
She so calls me pastor.
I call him pastor, and I will not buy anything unless it's been pasteurized approved.
By the way, I'm not an ordained pastor, but I went to seminary, so she calls me pastor.
I crack people's necks all the time, and they're like, wait, are you certified? And I'm like, in my heart, in my heart, I'm certified.
But
you're certified as a pastor in your heart.
In my heart, I guess yeah. I am. I mean, I do. Yeah, whatever. But as a kid... Like, did you, you know, when you wanted to do stuff with your friends or put on plays or put whatever?
Oh, I was the leader.
You were the leader.
I was the leader.
I can tell.
I was the leader of the pack. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you stand there. You wear that dress. That lipstick has to go. I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know how to act. You're out. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think because you grew up really fast mm-hmm. and you had to like basically have your wits about you as yeah. a kid because yeah. like, you know, your mom was dating all these different guys, all these, and you were sort of left on your own mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that had a lot to do with you just being able to kind of do it on your own?
Absolutely. I never thought about that, but yes, you should have been a therapist. Yes.
I know. I could have been.
Yeah, yeah. You broke that down real fast. Yeah. That's probably a lot of why I am the way I am.
And so as a kid, when you saw something that was like not right or out of place, or you did you just immediately want to fix it? Like,
yeah. And if I couldn't fix it, I, you know, had a meltdown.
You had a meltdown.
Yeah.
And so.
And it wasn't spoiled. It was just more like, you know, if I was at a school that I was unhappy with, I would just tell my mom, like, I'm just not going. I'm not going to that school. So you need to figure it out because I'm really unhappy there. And. you know, it would be a public school. And then I would say, I want to go to that private school down the road. And it would cost my mom a little bit more money. But I was so miserable. I just knew my comfort zone. I was very aware of the things that made me comfortable and the things that made me uncomfortable, because I suffered so much as a child watching my father's heroin addiction. I suffered with molestation. I suffered with, I suffered with, you know, moving around so much as a kid. And so I felt very out of control. So I think that's what it gets down to, is that I need to feel in control.
Right. So it's, in a way, it's surprising that you've come to Christ and submitted to him, because he's in control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But do you find yourself kind of
battling
that?
That's, I think, again, Doctor. Dr. Cook.
Dr. Pastor Cook.
Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it, is that I feel afraid to completely surrender to God, because I know that he has complete authority. See, that's the irony. He already has complete authority, and he's already in complete control. So it's really foolish and ridiculous for me to even try and maintain a sense of control.
Well, you mentioned yesterday, I think it was yesterday, you mentioned something about God's discipline, and you don't want to be spanked, basically.
Right.
So
slapped. Holy
slap.
You don't want I don't want the holy slap.
So you, like, as much as you want to control things, you know that, like, you need to let God, you know, ordain your steps. You need to let the Spirit lead you. Otherwise, you might get holy slap.
Yeah, and I do get holy slaps. I mean, I can feel them. I can feel, and I'm so grateful, because the Holy Spirit does make me sensitive to when I'm grieving the Spirit. I can really feel it, and I know when I am. And it's just a great opportunity to repent on the spot. I can just repent on the spot and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord," because I can feel it. Do you ever just feel it in your chest when you do or say something that you're like, "Oh, I just know that didn't make God happy"?
Yeah, I mean, recently I've been watching
The Sopranos.
Maybe The Sopranos. It's like, I saw The Sopranos. I saw the entire series back in the day when it was came out.
And I never watched it.
You never? It's, well, you probably wouldn't like it. It's like, you know.
Especially now, I probably wouldn't like it.
It's like mafia.
Yeah.
But I've been rewatching some of it, and it's like, it's weird because it's not healthy spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I know, even when I'm watching it, I feel like I'm grieving the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, forgive me. Mm-hmm. But it's like, sometimes, at night, when I just want to zone out because I've had a long day and I just want to zone out and just, like, escape,
mm-hmm.
instead of going to the Lord, which I should do.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's like, I just want to zone out and watch some stupid show. And it's like, it drives me crazy because I know that's not what
gonna
the Spirit...
going to feed you.
Yeah, the Spirit doesn't want me to do that.
That's right. I have the same problem. We have the same issues.
I know. We have the same exact issues. But so back to your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
When you wanted to control things, how did your mother?
I just realized I need a barbecue for my house. I've got to get a grill.
You do need a grill.
I've got to get a grill.
Uh-oh.
We're going to have to think about that.
We've got to call someone.
Yeah.
Oprah?
Oprah?
She lives somewhere around here.
Yeah.
So, how did your mother respond to your kind of proactive, aggressive behavior?
That didn't really kick in. I mean, yes, school and stuff. She was usually very good about it. She could tell that I was highly uncomfortable. And I mean, I was going to a school, just so that you're not thinking I'm some spoiled brat, I was going to a school where literally they would pull my hair. There was this tunnel that went from the school to the PE field underneath the main road, like this highway. And it went underneath. And it was dark and dangerous and scary. And when I would go under there with my books and my little, you know, ponytail or whatever, like, they would pull my ponytail back. They would push my books onto the ground. They'd push me against the wall, say horrible things to me. I was in a dangerous situation.
Did you go to Paris Hilton's high school? Did you see that documentary?
Yes.
Did you feel the same way?
Yes, I did. And so I told my mom after about 3 months of this, I just said, I can't do this anymore. And she understood. And she sent me to the Baptist school where I ended up getting saved.
And was your mother like super proud of you when you were, you know, proactive about, okay, I'm starting this band, I'm gonna, you know, start doing, and you.
Yeah, but she had no idea. I mean, she knew that we had a great sound, but I don't think she could have predicted.
Nobody could
the success that,
that
we were gonna have. Yeah, she was really excited and very proud and still is. Yeah,
she is.
Yeah.
Did she love Hold On?
Oh my gosh, she had the vinyl of Hold On. There was still vinyl, you know.
That's amazing.
And so she had the record and she would just play it over and over and over.
Has your mother, have you and your mother ever done a duet with that song?
No, but we've sung California Dreaming together on stage.
Yeah. I think I saw that.
Yeah.
But has she ever sung Hold On, like, even just like in the house?
No.
No. She's not going to sing Hold On. That's hilarious.
I mean, she might have sung it when I wasn't around, but I don't remember.
Anyway, remind me, was your dad still alive when Hold On hit?
Yes. So he took me to the Grammys.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he took me to the
and
Grammys.
And was he like super...
We were nominated for 6 and won none.
Oh.
But yeah, he was my date and he
was
got
he
me this really
proud?
Great bracelet that had 4 albums on it, gold. It was a little corny, but it was so cute. And it had 4 albums on it, and one said Hold On, one said Release Me, one said You're in Love, and one said The Dream is Still Alive.
Wow. That's
yeah,
pretty sweet.
And it was really sweet. It was really sweet.
And
he had, like, thought about it.
He was obviously super proud.
Oh my gosh, beyond.
Did you guys, like, after that experience or after that song or whatever, did you guys
bond
hang
a little
out
bit
more or talk more?
Well, yes and no. We would talk a little bit more, but my father was an addict.
Yeah.
And so his first love was getting high.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you know, we never really stayed in touch. I would lose his number and then I wouldn't know how to reach him. And then he would lose my number and I would move. And we just never had a great relationship.
But you were there with him when he died.
Yeah, right? I was there with him. Not at the moment that he died, but I was able to have my last moments with him the night before he died.
And, I mean, you don't have to say, but, like, did you guys say, like, what did he say
He was not conscious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was just able to sort of talk to him and just tell him.
Were you a Christian at that point?
Yes, but not really practicing, because I'd already gotten saved when I was 12, so, but I wasn't really, like, on fire for Jesus at that point, or I would have made sure that he, you know, got saved before.
Yeah.
But apparently he did get saved because an old Mamas and Papas backup singer told me that she went to the hospital a few weeks before he died and went to his bedside and said, John, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, this
what?
Might be a good time to do it.
And he
and
said
he
yes?
said, yeah, let's do it.
Wait,
yes.
John Phillips is going to be in heaven?
Yes.
That's amazing. Wait, that's crazy.
I know.
I love that.
I know.
That's
and when
amazing.
He was in the coma, I just said, Dad, thanks. Because there were a few things that just stuck out in my mind of our relationship of memories, like taking beach walks. And we took beautiful beach walks in Malibu when I was a kid that I remember. And he would write songs with me. I'd sit on his lap and he would sit at the piano and we'd write songs together. I'm talking when I was 4. And then he would take me to... we went to London for a year. My mom was there too, and we had a couple, you know, really wonderful.
They were still married?
No, they actually were in London at the same time for different reasons.
Okay.
My mom was doing a movie, and my dad was writing with like Keith Richards or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was in London that whole year you were there?
Yeah, it was really weird. The whole year we were there.
And you hung out with him in London?
Yes. He had a house like 3 miles down the road.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And,
but it was not a good time. I mean, it was that he was in the depths of his drug addiction, and I saw things I probably shouldn't have seen at that age. And like my brother and I used to have fights with his syringes, like water gun fights with his syringes, not with needles, but just like the plastic syringes themselves. We filled them with water and we would squirt each other. I mean, that's just not normal.
No, I don't think so. But. What do you think, did anyone try to do, like, not that interventions were a thing back then, but did anyone try to, like, intervene?
No, the answer to that would be no. I mean, maybe. I definitely wasn't part of an intervention with my dad.
And I
don't know that anybody tried.
Why do you think, did he have a traumatic childhood or something? Like, why do you think
I think he did. He was in military school when he was 5. He was sent to military school. 5 years old, and he stayed there till he graduated high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did he ever talk about his childhood?
And his dad was an alcoholic.
Oh.
Basically lived in the basement.
Wow.
His whole life.
So he probably, he had a pretty traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
And when, at what point did the drug use kick in?
Like, it got really bad in 1977.
What was specific?
You know, I just think that he had gone from barbiturates. Is that what it's called?
Barbiturates.
Oh, barbiturates. I don't even know.
Arbitrary barbiturates.
Barbiturates. To, you know, sometimes like things stop working after you use them long enough, and then you just upgrade. You know, it's like he upgraded, and I think it just he just ended up shooting up intravenously.
And so was that 1977? Was that like kind of like a lull in his career? Is that why you think it got bad?
Probably. Yeah, he wasn't doing much in 1977.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how old were you in 1977?
I was 8.
You were 8. Mm-hmm. Wow. Crucial time.
Yeah.
And you didn't really see him. You didn't hang out with him. You were like with your mom most of the time.
Well, like I said, I did spend some time with him in London. Yeah. But it was mostly me and Rosa, because Rosa went to London too. Rosa was my housekeeper / nanny. And Rosa and I were tied at the hip. And, you know, she saved my life. If I didn't have Rosa in my life, I mean, she bathed me. She walked me to school. She cooked me every single meal. She danced and sang with me. She read me stories. She prayed for me. She was, you know, seriously Catholic. She went to Mass every single Sunday. I used to see crucifixes hanging in.
Did you go to Mass with her or no?
No. Uh-uh. Because she had weekends off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, so back to the house you're moving into.
Yes.
So right now it's kind of this, you're in flux, you're in transition. Mm-hmm. You're doing a lot of stuff. You're being very proactive.
Yes.
Do you think once you get into the house and everything is like settled, do you think you'll kind of feel just kind of comfortable?
That's my prayer, because my son, as you know, a lot of you know, my son had cancer, and it's just been a very,
and
very...
he's 19.
He's 19. He was diagnosed when he was 16. It was stage 4. It was very, very serious, and it was terrifying. And so it's been a really rough few years, and then my other mother passed away, Jackie, who I was super, super close to, and I've just been in a really rough spot for a few years. So I'm just really excited to be able to set down some roots, and I'm praying that things will, my therapist keeps saying, China, we're going to land your plane and we don't have to do it right away. Like, it's a slow descent, you know, slow descent. It's just been super traumatizing. I've just been, had a very traumatizing past few years.
Yeah.
And meeting you has brought so much joy and light, seriously, into my life. And just having somebody to talk to that I can really identify with, like, as a Christian, just to feel like I'm not, because, you know, I'm a little bit eccentric.
Just a little bit. But a fun eccentric, like, in a great way.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just, I feel like it's hard to find other Christians that you feel like you really identify with. And I really feel like I identify with you, and that's just been such a blessing. And to be able to start California Preaching and to have such an amazing response to my channel and to have an outlet to be able to share with other people, not even just Christians, just people in general, you know, just all people, my walk with God. And from the comments, it looks as if people are starting to open their Bibles again.
I know.
People are starting
that's
to pray
so cool.
again. It just feels good to know you're making a difference. You know?
I know. I see the comments too on her channel, California Preaching, on YouTube. And you can really see like people kind of coming back to life as Christians. They're like, oh yeah, like the Lord. And he's the Lord of my life. And he's the love of my life. And you really...
Well, it's the Holy Spirit. We can't
It's the Holy
boast.
Spirit.
It's totally the Holy
it's
Spirit.
It's not, I know, but it's like you have that gift from the Spirit to activate people or to to inspire people.
Thank
so
you.
So I think it's so great.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. And so what, you mentioned therapy.
I now, need an umbrella too, by the way.
We'll have to get that too.
Yeah.
You mentioned therapy, mm-hmm. and
I got a Christian counselor.
She found a Christian counselor
through Redeemer Baptist Church, Timothy Keller's church.
Yeah. Tim Keller's church. And so, how many months has that been going on?
What are we talking about?
Your therapy.
So I've been in therapy now for about 2.5 months.
And how has that been like?
I love Judy.
Judy is her therapist. And has that been like unearthing a lot of stuff?
It has. And I feel like every week we're getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Because the first week we started working together, she was like, what have I gotten myself into? Like, I could tell in her voice that she was like, okay. I guess we'll speak next week. And I was like, oh no. Like, I've completely traumatized
Bless
her.
You, Judy.
Bless you, Judy. Bless you, child. But yeah, we're starting to get into a real rhythm and we're getting in sync. And I think that she is starting to realize that there are a whole lot of layers to this onion, uh-huh. and it's going to take some time.
And how do you feel after each session? Are you like...
I had one right before today. We started today. So you see, I was really Holy Spirit activated today.
So you feel great after.
I felt great after.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how
have
long?
You never done therapy?
I did, but
it didn't work for you.
No, it was when I was going to secular therapy back in before I was a Christian.
Oh, okay, it was pointless.
Because when you don't know the meaning of life,
totally.
It's like a therapist can't help you.
Yes, that's right.
They can help you. I take that back. They can help you like figure stuff out, but they can't help you with ultimate things.
If they don't share your faith in Christ, where are you really going?
Yeah, you're just like spinning in circles.
Yes,
and like
exactly. That's why I had to leave my other therapist, whom I loved. She was a great woman. But at the end of the day, every time I'd bring up the word Jesus, it would be like this, you know? And I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Couldn't.
Yeah, I get that. But how long do you think you'll continue?
I'm nowhere close to being healed. I mean, I literally feel like I need therapy at least for another 5 years.
That's the thing is like, I think a lot of times Christians in general kind of think like, oh, once you get saved, all your problems just like immediately go away. And in a sense they do, some of them do. And in a sense you're so overwhelmed with like God and being in love with Jesus that everything else kind of just disappears. But then after a while, those old things start coming back in.
That's right.
And you're like, wait a minute, where did that come from?
Yes.
And so you have to actually address those things.
That's right.
And get to the root of them and have the Holy Spirit pull them out. The gardener. The gardener pull those things out by the roots.
That's exactly right. And I love that analogy. And I also love the analogy of like God's coming into my house and ripping out the pipes and knocking down the walls. And I'm going, what are you doing? You know, the roof is coming off. And I'm like, what? And then I realize because he has to make his home suitable, this is his royal residence. Yeah. So he has to make the home suitable for him. And it's a palace.
Yeah.
So he's working on me.
He's like dusting, sweeping.
He's working on me.
Yeah. He's sweeping out all the whatever dust bunnies from your heart.
Dust bunnies.
I don't know where that came from.
Okay. That has to be the name of some punk group, like the Dust Bunnies.
Dust Bunnies. And how are things with Billy?
You know,
we might have to cut tape right here.
Billy and I are very, very different individuals. And I think that as we grow in our marriage and the more time we spend together, I mean, we've been together for almost 30 years now. So we've really come to realize that we are perfectly imperfectly matched, if that makes sense. And so he is like super grit, East Coast, Strong Island, you know, he should have been a lawyer. He wanted to go to law school. He's always got his argument ready to go. And I'm like the West Coast, you know, I'm like the little leaf flowing in the wind.
Flower
I go
child.
Here, I go hither, tither. It's like I don't really have an opinion on politics so much. Judge. Please don't judge.
And he's
super political. I mean, uber political.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really into wrestling and I could care less.
Wrestling.
And so, We don't. The only thing we have in common is that we have nothing in common. That's what we share in common.
Well, what's
and kids.
What's
and,
cool
you know.
Is Billy is on a road trip for like a month now.
Yes. Oh, and, thank you, Jesus.
Well, no, but I've been praying for him because I feel like maybe this time alone, like driving in his car and just
yes.
like, I don't know. I'm just praying that God would just like
Holy
really,
Spirit
the Holy Spirit would minister to him and God would just reveal himself to him.
Please.
Like, because that would be so cool. Oh my gosh, if Billy came back and he was a Christian. You'd be like, what?
You've got a big God. Like, you've got to have a very big God if you're praying those things. Like, thank you. Because
yeah.
I don't pray those things. I think when you're too close, when you're too intimately connected to something, it's harder to pray for it. Does that
yeah.
happen? You understand what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
And so it's great that you have objectivity and that you can see it from a different perspective and that you're able to pray for him in a way that I'm incapable of praying for him. I mean, I
yeah.
love my husband and I do pray for him. I pray for his salvation, but please keep praying.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Please keep praying. And I love Billy because nobody makes me laugh harder than him.
He's fun. Billy's hilarious.
He's very funny. Very, very funny. And
love him.
And, you know, he's, you know, I love when people are self-deprecating. You know, he's not self-deprecating, but I am very self-deprecating. And so I can take a joke. I can take when the joke is on me. Have you ever noticed that whenever he cracks a joke, usually it's about me.
Yes.
And
yes.
I take it very well. And I actually think it's hysterical. So like, yeah, I love Billy so much. And I've come to realize more and more and more that we're perfectly suited for each other. I mean, God put us together for a reason. And we're actually in the process of writing a book, which is really exciting, which I can't talk a whole lot about. But yeah,
okay.
We're writing a book and it's dredging up, trust me, a lot of stuff, and good and bad. But it's very cathartic, and I feel like it's going to be an incredible book, and it's going to be super raw and honest.
Well, I got a sneak preview of the book.
You
Billy,
did.
Billy read me the first chapter of the book, and I mean, it's going to be really, really amazing. You guys are going to love this book. It's like a page turner for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
So I can't wait till you guys finish this and it
Thank
gets
you.
Published.
Thank
Praise
you.
The Lord.
So we have a cookbook show. Did you know that?
Yes, we have a cookbook show called
The Holy Cookbook Show.
That was her idea, which was such a genius idea because obviously my last name is Cook. So The Holy Cookbook Show, and we actually just shot an episode today up in Montecito.
Yep.
And it's so much fun.
It's so much fun. And today was such a great, there was such like synergy going on. Did you
yeah.
feel it?
We talked about Satan.
We talked about, yeah, satanic salmon. Satanic
because we
salmon.
Kind of broke down who Satan is and biblically what he's all about. And so that was very fun. But we love doing this cookbook show. And I love what China said recently about the cookbook show. It's basically, what did you say?
Smokescreen.
It's a smokescreen for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another thing that we connect on is we love sharing the gospel. We love evangelizing. We like when we were on the hotel roof.
Yes,
we evangelized
oh
for a whole
gosh.
Weekend. It was crazy. We
yeah.
should maybe talk about that. So yeah, so China came to LA to get away from. She just needed a weekend away, and she came with her daughter and her daughter's friends, and we were at the Peninsula. Should I say that?
It's okay.
We were at the Peninsula Hotel.
We splurged.
She stayed at the Peninsula Hotel, and so we basically, I went over the 2 or 3 days that she was there, and we hung out. It was like perfect weather in LA. It was like 75 degrees.
Sometimes I'd call him in the morning and be like, Pastor, are you going to meet me at the top of the peninsula at the pool? And he'd be like, I'm already here.
Yeah, and so it was just a crazy, amazing time because there were all these people in cabanas. We had our own cabana on the roof, and there were all these other kind of people, this British couple and these Russians and like other people. And China and I, we were just like talking about Jesus the whole time, kind of
yeah.
to each other, but really loudly.
Yeah.
Really loud. And people were like overhearing.
They were
us.
Intrigued.
And this British woman was like, you guys come sit over here.
Right,
and
come sit with us.
Come sit with us. And we sat with them and like we evangelized and I told them my story, which is so scandalous. And they didn't seem that scandalized. And China told her story.
to the Russian girl.
I think that the woman was even like, you know, my father was a photographer and he photographed, you know, rock bands in the 70s, the 60s or whatever. You're like, did he photograph my parents?
And she was like, and she made a phone call and she was like, no, my father never photographed your parents. But he did, like, she did say the Doors and like some other really big, the Beatles.
So anyway, that was so fun to, because it's really that, honestly, and I know you feel the same way. It's like evangelizing, telling people about Jesus is the most fun thing to do.
It's so much fun.
There's nothing more exciting because it's the best news in the universe.
That's exactly right.
And when you get to tell people the good news, it's like, it's so fun. It's like, it's almost like seeing the most amazing movie you've ever seen and like telling, and then after the movie, you're like, oh my gosh, you guys got to see this movie. It's amazing.
Yes, the most beautiful love story ever told.
Yeah. And so that was a super fun weekend and I hope we have many more.
Well, we thought about starting a reality show about just like evangelizing on rooftops at hotels, rooftop, which I think is kind of a great idea.
Rooftop gospel. We
should call it. Yes.
Ooh, I like that. Let's pitch that. But yeah, the Holy Cookbook Show is a really fun way to evangelize. And I'm not, you know, an amazing cook. You are a way better cook than I am.
I don't know about that.
You're really, well, you know your stuff. And so, except maybe the avocado oil. I use olive oil. but I love the Holy Cookbook Show because we get to talk about Jesus and we get to have fun. And
it's such a nice balance of all of it, of just laughter and the gospel and good food and friendship. It's everything all mixed into one.
So guys, make sure you go to California Preach and her channel on YouTube and watch all the Holy Cookbook shows because they're super fun.
They're really good.
I think there's one on my channel too, but that's confusing. So just go to her channel. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having some time with me.
Thank you for, I'm so glad we had this time together. Make it stop! Every time I see you, she tells me to make it stop. So thank you guys for joining this week on the Beckett Cook Show. And share, like, subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
And share the good news of Jesus.
Yes, peace of Christ.
Peace of Christ. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Beckett Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Beckett Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.